Brother Mark, I'd like to just carry the verse yesterday, today, and forever in the verses you read in Revelation, because that wonderful characteristic or nature of the Lord, the first chapter, it is in relationship to first begotten amongst the dead, and then the praise comes unto him who washed us away with his own blood. He was faithful to God, and he is faithful even in the work that he has accomplished for the glory of God. The second aspect that you read, that he is faithful to God as far as the assembly is concerned, because the thought of his faithfulness was in relationship to John's addressing the seven assemblies. But he is the faithful, because he doesn't change. But even when we go to Revelation 19, his character remains the same, because that's in relationship to the world to come. So how wonderful to see that he's faithful when he first came, he's faithful in the present moment, in relationship to the assemblies, but also in that world to come, that God could entrust the whole universe to him, because he's faithful.
Praise God.
I just want to ask a question. We have said that the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God is faithful to himself and he's also faithful to us. But then there are times when I and the unbeliever, and so often the believer as well, they ask something from God and they don't see an answer. If I say that his faithfulness is his very nature, that he has to be faithful to himself, and he doesn't change, he's trustworthy. Well, if I ask and I don't receive, does that now mean that God is not faithful? Or how do I respond to the believer who so often says, the faithfulness in God has waned a little because I asked and I didn't receive. So he must not be faithful to me who may be living a faithful life. How do I answer that type of inquiry? And how do I look at it? You throw doubt on the faithfulness of God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
While we were speaking a little bit ago, I was thinking of the example of Mary and Martha with Lazarus when he was sick, and maybe it addresses this a little bit. They had every confidence in the compassion of the Lord Jesus. The one you love is sick. They had every confidence in his power. Both Mary and Martha independently, they said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And so they thought accurately about the Lord Jesus, but maybe we can make this distinction. Being faithful is not the same as being predictable. And so if we say that the Lord is faithful, that doesn't mean that we can always trace precisely what will happen next. He's not, could we say such a thing? He's not a coin-operated machine where we say a few prayers and we get our treats. He's not some robot that we push the right buttons and we know precisely what will happen next. He was completely faithful to Mary and Martha and to Lazarus. He was faithful to God. He prayed in the presence of all before raising Lazarus so that it would be known that it was through God and his dependence on God as his father that this miracle was going to take place. Later, God said, when he said, Father, glorify your name, the answer came, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And the first I have glorified it is in response to that prayer in John 11. So the Lord Jesus was faithful, but he wasn't predictable in the sense that things were going to happen in such a way that it would be just according to what they hoped. Yet, looking back at the end, when they saw what the Lord had done, how much better it was, how much greater it was. He was always faithful, even though their expectation or their desire, their initial desire, was not met in the way that they imagined it. But looking back, they could see that the Lord's character never changed.
The kind of answer that we look for at times is that we like to regulate the Lord. We want him to do what we want to have him do. And when we don't get him to do what we want to have him do, then we become disappointed that he does not live up to his injunction in the gospel. Whatsoever you shall ask of me, the Father will give you. Forgetting that our asking is dependent on his will. And James tells us about that. James tells us also that I receive not sometimes because I don't ask, but at other times because I want to consume it on my lust. So we have to be challenged about his will. Is this what he wants? And suppose it is what he wants. There are three possible answers that we can get. He will give us a yes, or he will give us a direct no, or he will say to us, wait. So it is not a matter of saying, I've asked and I didn't get. The matter of consuming it upon my lust is a challenge to each and every one of us, because very often that's how we ask. But the challenge to my own heart is that he remains faithful to himself. I thought of a verse, the verse in John's Gospel, chapter 8, when he's declared about being the light, and the Pharisees are seeking to find ways to trip him up. He says, when he was asked, "Who art thou?" He says, and Mr. Darby has it this way, "Altogether that which I also say to you." Here is the consistency and faithfulness of this blessed man. Altogether, no changing, no deviation whatsoever. And I think we can count on that kind of faithfulness and answer our own question. Why don't I receive? It's not because he has shifted. He's remained consistent and constant. I need to take an internal look at myself.
May I add, Brother Dave, just a quick thing. The most individual that spoke about faithfulness was the Apostle Paul. The most. If you count and you look into that aspect of faithfulness, and he is the only one in light of New Testament that could declare in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God is faithful. But now I will encourage someone that was thinking this way. Well, let me take you on a trip what Apostle Paul have went through. And at no given moment did he ever doubt that God was not faithful. God is faithful at all stages in my life. And I think we heard it sufficiently from Brother David. Because he is trustworthy, because he has my best interest in his heart, the answer might be no. And the answer is that I'm not going to give it to you. Just like the Apostle Paul, who declared God's faithfulness, he could say that I prayed 3 times in 2 Corinthians 12, and the answer was, my grace is sufficient for you. Just a few verses before that. It is the measure of how he suffered, and how he was forsaken, and all these things. But yet he is the one consistently will stand for the faithfulness of God. And I think that's a practical example to display someone who went through all the stages in the school of God, and yet he maintained that God is faithful.
I want to add also that we have a good example in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the garden he asked, "Let this cup pass from me." But then there is the verse, I believe it's in, I could not find it, in Psalm 22. "Why are you doing these things? Because you are faithful." My God's faithfulness is not dependent upon what I ask or the answer I get. So often we think, you know, if I ask God, then he will give. And that's how God shows his faithfulness. But my asking him and my receiving an answer is not dependent upon God's faithfulness. Whether he answers the way I would like or not, he is still faithful.
Would it be okay to address this further in the first passage here in 2 Thessalonians 3?
Yeah, I was just going to move us there. We mentioned in Revelation 1, it is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that's highlighted there, unto him who has made us kings and priests. Well, that brings us really to this passage in 2 Thessalonians 3. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ and its impact upon us as believers. He is faithful who has called us. Perhaps we could just read those verses.